Hello, welcome to the Hadron Highly Available Solutions on Microsoft Azure session. My name is Igal. I'm the PM responsible for the availability, scalability, and performance of your VMs running or deploying inside Azure Cloud. I'm looking into things like Azure improvements, but also features that can help your applications to run better, to run more highly available on top of Azure. Today we will look into both of those, and I hope that the best outcome of this meeting for you would be more highly available applications that you can run. I had some hard time naming this session, but lately, after hearing a couple of keynotes, probably the right name is Hyper-Availability of the Hyperscale Cloud. That sounds right. Or maybe it should be improving my sleep quality when I'm on call. That's the only session, by the way, that targets at your sleep quality. So the idea is we should architect our applications in such a way that we are not called during an outage. There will be outages. There will be downtime, either due to your bugs or due to ours. And we should, first of all, we should all admit it, software has bugs. But the right point is we need to architect our applications in such a way that they can sustain any expected misbehavior, bug, hardware failure, or updates. So my goal here really in this session is to give you a set of, My goal in this session is to give some tools that will allow you to architect, to develop, to define those applications correctly. Either you are running your servers and you want to run it in a way that is always available on Azure, or you want to architect your app. I will show some UIs, I'll show some demos, not too deep, don't be worried, we won't get into the code. I'll reference all the samples, I'll give the links to the samples I'm using, and you can download and try them out, but I won't show the code. And I'll show architecture. We'll start and slowly build an application which is really highly available on Azure and cannot be brought down in a conventional means. Who plans to run highly available or highly business critical payload in the cloud? Is there anyone here who plans to do so? Okay, I think majority voted, yep. So that's what we expect. We want to make sure that when you are betting your business, you are running your business critical apps on Azure, you see no blips. Your service is always up. So the goal is really how to allow running business critical software on Azure Cloud in the right scale. We will look into main downtime reasons and we'll see how we can avoid them. And I listed three here, but the bugs will always happen. Natural disasters could happen, unfortunately, but nature is still in play. And then man-made disasters, you might do an upgrade. An upgrade might not go well, or it might go well, and you want to make sure that your customers are not aware of the fact that you made an upgrade, at least not aware from the availability perspective. The approach to defending against availability failures should be tiered. We are starting from defining how can we make a single VM as robust as possible, and then we will talk about how we can create resiliency to the local failures, essentially hardware failures or software failures that will still allow your service to continue running and service customers, even if some hardware component went down. Next layer would be defending against regional failures. I will show some of the mechanisms that will allow you to protect your application and your customers from a natural disaster or entire region going down. And the last but not the least, how will we be able to span this application across multiple regions or reach the hyperscale of Azure Cloud? So before I go into solutions, I'd like to propose a hypothetical solution. What if I had a crystal ball, or you had a crystal ball, and you can predict the downtime for your application? What would you do with it? Think about it. You could predict downtime for your application in advance, prepare for it, or take mitigation well ahead of time. So let's consider an application. I have two VMs. I call them Ignite SRV 1 and 3. By the way, why 1 and 3? To make it more interesting, if it was 1 and 2, it would be just a boring session. 1 and 3, it requires some deep inside. One is active VM, three is a passive VM, standby VM. In this application, I want to make sure that even despite the fact that you or one of your IT admins forcing a reboot on one of the VMs by mistake or because it needs to be upgraded, we see no downtime to the application. We see no downtime to the end user. So if I had this crystal ball and I would have known that either my admin would press by mistake a reboot button or by mistake, not by mistake, the hardware would go down, I would be happy to get this notification from a crystal ball telling me that someone is going to click the reboot button or hardware is going to fail. Wouldn't it be nice? In that case, I would be able to quickly switch to another VM, make my server 3 active, and I would see no downtime. Well, this is possible. Everything I shared with you, including the crystal ball, is here, and I'd like to show you how to make it happen, how to make sure that you are always protected against scenarios I mentioned. So how we will analyze the solution? This is going to be the framework, and I'll just use this framework every time I'm walking through the solution and I'm trying to propose improvements. We'll start from a simple development or testing application. We will observe how it runs on Azure. We will try to see what are the downsides, what are the goals from such an application. And then we'll start changing this application to be resilient to the local failures. We'll need to run multi-instance application. I will show you how. I will show you what's important when you're configuring such an application, which functionality you can use from Azure. Next step would be making our app or server or essentially anything we are running inside Azure resilient to the regional failures. And the last step would be to scale globally. So this is essentially the framework. You're going to see this slide multiple times, and I'll just add solutions to the slide. And hopefully, after this presentation, you can download it and use it as a guide for your applications, for your services. Let's start from a simple service. And it's just a sample. I could model any service to it. I decided to take a simple service to show, to use as a reference. I have a front end, I have middle tier back end. Hopefully this is pretty familiar configuration to most of you, and there is a customer that is accessing the front end. If it's a dev test environment, I probably want to make sure that they can set it up and tear it down quickly, maybe in 5 minutes, maybe in 1 minute. I want to make sure that it's low cost, I can change it quickly. I don't care about downtime really in this setup, so I don't need to set up too much high availability mechanisms. So what I'm trying to say here is that in your case, you should never run this kind of application in production unless you have no choice. However, it might be running in production in this way, and there are multiple back applications which are not forward compatible. There are multiple reasons why you might do that. But from the right architecture perspective, having a single VM, if the front end is having a single VM as a middle tier, is probably not the applications that will support your scale, and definitely not the applications that will support your upgrades, rolling upgrades, and definitely that's not the way to run. However, from our perspective, we do understand that sometimes you are forced to do it. So we are working very hard to make sure that there is no downtime in this kind of application, in this kind of setup, and you can still always count on Azure. So what are we doing for a basic VM, for a single VM? And I'll start with basic stuff, I'll start adding to it. But for a basic VM, we are really looking into every time, every occurrence of downtime, and analyzing it, RCAing it, and fixing if it's on our side, if we can do something. Sometimes it's possible, sometimes it's not, but in most of the cases, in all the cases, we will look in the telemetry and prove. So every misbehavior of the VM that you might experience on Azure, and hopefully you never experience, but in case you experienced, it's already logged and we are already following up. By the time you noticed that, it's already in our system being followed up. We are treating this as a first focus area inside Azure Core, so it's explicitly very important for us to make sure that you never see any blips in Azure. So that's just the basic stuff. However, once again, there are rolling upgrades. And with one VM, you cannot have high availability during rolling upgrade. You need to replace your software or need to patch your server. The end service might go down. End-to-end service might go down. We are investing into hardware failures predictions that hopefully will help to some degree with this configuration. The idea is to try to predict hardware failures and avoid placing VMs where we expect hardware failures to occur. Or maybe if the VMs are already running on that physical machine, we would like to move them out to another machine before hardware failure hit us immediately. So we have mechanisms today, and we continue investing in those mechanisms on predicting hardware failures based on our AI functionality, based on past behavior, and everything you heard Satya and others in the keynotes, we are definitely using it for us to be smarter, to be better from the availability perspective. Another thing that we are using is something called Safe Deployments Initiative on our side, and I would definitely advise any company that considers running business critical payload on Azure to run a similar initiative inside the company. So the idea here is that we have this pipeline that we are using in order to deploy any Azure component, any Azure code. And we are going through all those stages before the component hits runtime, hits production. We start from test environment. For our components, we go to stage, which is essentially the first environment where all the components hit a synthetic payload. The next step is Canary, or as you might have heard about this program, EAUP, Early Adoption and Update Program. The idea here is to allow customers to run their synthetic payloads against early Azure builds in order to create kind of insurance policy in production. We will monitor the payload there. We will make sure that there is no degradation. We will make sure that after we updated every component, there is no difference in behavior of the customer components. And if there is a difference in behavior, we will stop the rollout, root cause it, potentially go back. But we won't reach a production if our sample set of synthetic payload is not behaving in the same way as it behaved before the change. We will not deploy into all regions at the same time. I talked about regional strategy. We will deploy in region pairs. This means that even in case we have a latent bug, you should not observe it across two regions. We will make sure that we deploy one region in a region pair and then a second one. I'll talk about region pairs in 10, 15 minutes, but what's important for you to note is that there is much more protection than just natural disasters that you need to be aware of. Think natural disasters happening much less frequently than our own bugs. Let me introduce one first mechanism I wanted to share with you, how you can protect yourself against downtime. Once again, you need to keep in mind that this mechanism that I'm sharing with you right now does not provide you high availability. We are not at the first step yet. However, you can use this mechanism in case you absolutely have to run your single instance VM, your single VM for front-end or single VM for middle tier. We can back up the VMs and restore them in the same region or even in a different region in case of regional failures. We don't have to stop the VM in order to do that. We can back them up as they go, and we can do that in a way that is application consistent. This means that if you are running your SQL server inside Azure and we are backing up, we are using VSS, so you don't need to stop the VM in order to get a consistent backup. When this is useful? This is useful against any kind of data corruption scenario. This is useful against a regional disaster if you want to use a geo-redundant storage and move to another region. And definitely, in case you are considering hybrid clouds, this is useful to back up your local data center into Azure. The important part is backup is a service here. We don't have any infrastructure that we are asking you to set up. You just configure it in the portal, tell us which VMs you need to back up, and you're done. We are aware of the payload in this case, and the backup will be consistent with the application, as I mentioned. Let me show you a couple of screenshots. So that you know how to access it. So this is a slide. This is, in the portal, those are the properties for the VM, and it's currently in private preview. This means that you can sign up for that feature. You have a backup tab in yellow. You can click the backup tab, and you will be able to define the backups. Or you can use the traditional method and define the backups from a backup vault configuration, which is right here. So backup services vault, you might have observed it, you might have seen it in Azure portal. But the idea is you can go and set up your VM backups. They will be held centrally. They might be copied across regions if you require us to do so. And we will hold your copy based on your backup policy. For example, keep it for 30 days, but not more than that. So you can see here, I don't see my mouse. You can see here that in the lower, in the middle bottom, I have one backup item, and it, my VM just backed up to this backup vault, or is backing up to this backup vault. So easily accessible, no need to deploy anything. You can use advantage of the Azure backup as you go. So let's recap. We talked about dev test environment. We talked about, yes, there might be possibilities that you need to use this kind of environment for production. Not advisable, but might be a possibility, and we recognize that. You can do, we will make sure that in case there is any kind of failure, we will heal your VM. This means we will move it to another hardware that is healthy at this point of time. So we'll recover it. However, there is no other VM that is actively doing the same thing. You might want to spin it up in case it happens, or if you, but we will do it for you. But it takes time, and those minutes or seconds, depends on the case, as is essentially the downtime for your customer, for your service. We can provide backup and recovery. However, once again, even when you decide to restore, the amount of time it takes is generally minutes or even hours. It depends on the case. And this is not as highly available as we need to in order to gain our good night's sleep. Good night's sleep, that's a goal. I mentioned the upgrades as well, which is not enough. So now let's talk about really highly available config. That's the first time I'm showing you something that I can be happy about. And this is where we have two layers of application, same layers. There is front end and middle tier, some kind of data storage in the back end. Our goals from this simple configuration would be to make sure that we are fault tolerant. Azure term for that is using multiple fault domains. The idea is to define your application in such a way that you're configuring either availability set or availability sets or scale sets for each tier of your application. Just by doing that, you're giving Azure enough data to make sure to allocate your VMs or your payload in such a way that it is highly available. So the only thing you need to do in order to keep your tier highly available is to run multiple VMs with the same payload and tell Azure that those guys are related. How do you tell that to Azure? You either define scale set or availability set, and you are putting those VMs in. So in this example, I have two availability sets, two tiers. One of the VMs in fault domain, the left one is in fault domain 0. The right one is in fault domain 1. And in case there is a hardware failure or any kind of failure, we will make sure that only one VM goes down potentially and healed, while the other VM is still up, performing, and your customers don't see any kind of service outage. We want to make sure that we support rolling updates. This means that when we update our application, either our application or you update your application, you want to make sure that there is no downtime. So you could update one VM at a time. First one, then second one. We are calling that functionality update domains. Essentially, you might want to make sure that only one of your update domains or fault domains, depends on the exact configuration, goes down at a time, but not both at once. If you have enough VMs and you can serve the customers with the remaining capacity, customers will not notice your updates, and you probably want to update as frequently as possible. You want to make sure that you are patched, that you are secure, that your latest bugs are resolved. One other thing that I wanted to mention here is because you are running two VMs, and we know that they are related, we can give you some information about the other VM. For example, we might inform the VM that is still up about the VMs that went down, so your application can take corrective actions. And we can, of course, scale up or down if needed. If you're using scale sets, it's relatively easy. So let me start from sharing some of the mechanisms we have that support this kind of configuration. I'll share what you need to know in order to be able to take an advantage from this kind of config. So one thing that we enabled in production, we call it in-place VM migration. This means when we are creating or we are updating our host, when we are making our infrastructure secure, and we are doing that continuously as new critical security patches arise, we are avoiding taking down your VMs. How we do that? I created this cool animation. There is an update available. First of all, we tell the VMs that there might be a short pause. By the way, the short pause is 9 to 30 seconds. In most of the cases, it will be 9. In some cases, it might take up to 30 seconds. During that period of time, the VM will be paused, and your code will observe slight clock jump. No reboot, no disk loss, no downtime. It looks like a short network blip, and you are inoculated. Your security updates for the infrastructure are in place. So we will save the VM state, update the host OS, update the binaries, and restore the VMs, and we are done. So 9 to 30 seconds. It took me more time to show it than it actually is, but we are able to update the hosts in place, update the hypervisor in place without taking any kind of downtime to the VM. This happens in the majority of cases. We still have one yearly cycle that requires reboot. In all the other cases, we will use in-place VM migration to deploy any kind of functionality. So if your application is sensitive to those pauses, you can hook. We have hooks where you can hook up and get the notification about that. Let's talk about it for a moment. Let's take a step back, actually, and talk about it from a different perspective. What are the overall challenges in this kind of multi-instance application? What are the challenges with downtime? So first of all, even if just one VM goes down, you might need to rebuild some indexes. It might go down in the middle of some operation. Customers might notice. Even if your second VM immediately takes the traffic, even if your load balancer immediately pushes all the traffic to the other VM, there still might be unfinished transactions, customers in the middle, customers need to re-authenticate. All the nasty things that are maybe not as major, but still don't look good. So what is important with VM downtime is hopefully to mitigate all those issues and make sure that customer experience still stays the same, even if one of the VMs goes down and availability set or scale set overall is up. Another thing, and it's particularly disturbing, when someone is trying to root cause, why did my VM reboot or why did my application restart? And you don't know why, you don't know what happened. Was it hardware, was it software? What is this glitch? In many cases, it's really hard to put your head, to find out what is the real root cause. So in that case, it would be really nice if we had a log, maybe even inside the VM or inside your monitoring system, that shows you what was exactly the reason. If it was hardware, yeah, let's know that it's hardware. If it's some kind of software update, just tell me in advance, give me notifications there is a software update. I don't want to deal with it. I just want to know that this is not a glitch in my software and my VM. So here's what we did. Those were the challenges, and here's what we did. I am presenting it, by the way, for the first time. This is a forum where we unveil it. It's going to be it's running in the private preview right now. It's going to be in the public preview within the next month. So we are trying to surface any events that are happening with the VM before they happen. So you remember the crystal ball in the beginning of the presentation? I'll show you this crystal ball running. So what we are trying to do here, we are trying to surface VM events within the VM, locally accessible, that will impact your availability. For example, you decided to reboot your VM. Your VM might take notification about it before it reboots and acknowledge this reboot. There is timeout, of course, and if VM doesn't acknowledge, we will go ahead eventually and reboot the VM, but we will allow your code, your VM, to act upon reboot request. It's the same thing if we decide, if on our side we need to move the VM to another node because of the hardware failure, we will tell the VM in advance there is an imminent hardware failure, we believe this node is going to fail, and we will give you notifications that we are moving you to another VM. Same thing with the pause, the 9 to 30 seconds pause I mentioned. You want potentially to log it to know later that you can debug it, but we will surface that kind of information to your VM. And even more, this is only locally accessible within your VM, so you don't need authentication model. You just read port 80 on a local IP address. Port 80 on your local IP, on your locally accessible IP address, and you are getting the events in advance. So within single line of code, you can read all the upcoming availability events that might impact your service. So I'm showing here an example of such an event. There is an ID to each event. There is event type, essentially reboot, redeploy, pause, reimage. Each one of them, I described those events on the right side, but each one of those has different impact, and the idea is, once again, prepare in advance your VM or your service to deal with downtime before the downtime has occurred. Even in case of hardware failures, once again, we cannot predict all of them, but in many cases, with everything you have heard about what we did with AI in Azure, in many cases, we are able to predict. Let's take a look at how it really works. I showed you the crystal ball thingy in the beginning of the presentation. Let me show you the demo, the actual demo. So we will have two VMs. We'll have them both active, both green. It was active standby in the previous demo. I'll make it even harder here. I'll make them both active. There is a notification coming before. Customer tries to redeploy the VM. Notification is coming. VM performs clean, graceful shutdown and then shuts down itself. But once again, this could be, in this scenario, this is customer forcing a redeploy. This could be a hardware failure that we were able to predict. If you want to download the sample, look at the code, play with it, there is a link there, and you can, of course, download the presentation after the session in the Ignite website. Let me switch to another screen and show you a demo. I don't know if I mentioned, but Azure is open platform. We are definitely welcoming Linux VMs, and I did the demo with Linux VMs just to show that we are definitely supporting that. And you can use this functionality as well as Linux and in Windows, and the demo is on Mac, so we are completely democratized here. We will support whoever wants to work with Azure. So we have two VMs, Ignite Linux SRV1 and Ignite Linux SRV3. We see on the top three tabs. On the left, we have site topology, distributed system status. In the middle, we have Ignite Linux Server 3 status, and on the right, Server 1. We are showing the status coming from the VMs. We have two shells in the bottom. Let me show you that those two shells are showing the actually running machines. Once again, this is a video demo. I didn't take dependency on the network here, but this is very similar to how it actually works. So we are going to click the redeploy button, maybe by mistake, maybe not, and see what happens. And here is the redeploy button in the portal. Let's do it. So we click the button. We will see shortly that VM has received the message or will receive the message and graceful shutdown will be in process. You can see pending reboot. This means that we received the message that this machine will go down. could be due to hardware, could be due to whatever, but it going down. Graceful shutdown is in progress. Essentially, the machine has initiated a sequence to clean up, to move the customers, or to close all the open files in such a way that we will be able to cleanly shut down the machine and move all the customers to another active VM. So shutdown will not commence until VM actually acknowledges that it is done, completing the work. There is timeout eventually, but the VM has an opportunity to acknowledge that it can cleanly shut down or cleanly reboot. Here, VM updated, here is status on my dashboard, closing remaining transactions. We have some transactions we need to complete. We don't want to lose them. And we will see in a moment that VM will actually go down. So we are giving VM an opportunity to respond before it is shut down, restarts, or pauses. Acknowledging the event. This is a step in which VM can say, okay, I'm ready, go ahead. It can modify the not before parameter, essentially, and say, do it now, or the other way around, oh, wait, I need another couple of minutes. So by responding to the notification, VM will actually go and tell Azure to go and reboot. So you can see we have just lost the connection. The VM has booted. We approved the redeploy functionality. VM is currently not active, and in a moment, we will see that it is up. So server will go up. We are able to connect. Server seems to be up. In a moment, we will also see the web service going up, and it is. And we are done. Essentially, we were able to restart without taking any customer hit in a graceful way, sometimes predicting the future using the crystal ball. And that's it. And as I mentioned, this functionality is in preview right now. We are releasing it for public preview within the next month, within October. And I'll be happy if you guys use it right and share with us your opinion about this. Sorry, was there a question? Which slide? Yeah. Sorry, you asked to put back which slide? The GitHub? Yeah. Here it is. Awesome. Let's go ahead. I'll leave some time for questions in the end. So one another thing you could use is Azure Monitor. We announced it during this Ignite as well. There is this new functionality that allows you to monitor all your VMs, not just from the availability perspective, but also performance, any kind of runtime parameters. You can set up your own dashboard and see everything you are trying to, everything that is important to you. You can output all those events, all this data externally into one of your log monitoring or log management systems, so you can look for additional insights. And of course, we are supporting both Linux and Windows Server. This is definitely a tool to deal with your availability in many cases after the downtime has happened, or as you are learning that downtime might be imminent. And you can definitely use it for any kind of application you are running. This is highly useful. So I wanted to show here some UI. You might want to go to VM properties and go to the monitor. And as you can see it in the left bottom corner, and then you can see all the details about your VM. I would like, I don't have enough time to go over all the details. What I would propose you to do is to go and play with it, see what you can gain from it, how it helps you to run your application. This is a useful tool. This might help you to improve your system, to improve availability and customer experience. One thing that I do want to go into the details about the monitoring is a webhook and SMS email functionality. So in some cases, you might want to get notification when one of your VMs go down. And you might want to take two types of notifications. First one is getting email or message maybe, and follow up on the actual downtime event. It's needed, it's required, it's a good point. But it's, in many cases, it's not enough. You might want to think about automating your recovery process. Even in case of downtime, for sure, there might be some actions you can take or you can do in advance in order to avoid the downtime. So in this example, I'm showing how you can set up SMS message, get a message about downtime after it has occurred and after it has been observed. I would propose also to utilize webhooks, which are second line from the bottom on the right bottom corner. So webhooks will allow you to get notifications in your webhook, respond to those notifications automatically, and either clean up or fix without your intervention, and still keeping your goal number one that I mentioned initially in this presentation. Anyone wants to share what it is? Sleep well. Thank you. I want to show here a screenshot of Azure Functions, which is Azure serverless implementation. You can implement a webhook, really, really simple webhook, and respond to a downtime event automatically without running a server, without doing too much work. Just type your code that is relevant to dealing with this kind of downtime for your VM, and that's it. So this functionality is, once again, in private preview. It requires sign up. Feel free to contact me after this session. We will enable you this functionality. We presented it in other monitoring sessions in Ignite. And we are shortly going public with this functionality as well, with the webhooks. So the orange arrows are actually pointing out to how you can set up the webhook and respond to downtime events without waking up in the middle of the night. So things to remember here, sleep well and Azure Functions. I wanted to spend a couple of minutes on virtual machine scale sets. I mentioned scale sets and availability sets as a mean to describe us, how your application looks like, so we can make sure that fault domains, update domains are configured correctly, and we never take your entire service down. However, scale set has more advantages, and it's even easier to use than availability sets. Instead of managing set of individual VMs, with scale set, you can manage set of same VMs. You can manage them in bulk. You can scale up, scale down, configure them in bulk, while still getting the availability benefits. So what are the main advantages? Scale up or down. Because all the VMs are the same, we can just add one or remove one from the set, or add 10, remove 10 from the set. It's pretty easy to configure it because you don't need to configure each VM separately. I want to touch a couple of points, and you can read the other bullets, but I wanted to touch a couple of points on the difference. Every time I'm showing scale sets in the availability forums, I'm asked, so what is exactly the difference between availability set versus scale set? So I want to make sure that the differentiation is pretty clear. So the obvious differentiation is availability set, multiple separate VM. Different, could be different size, could be different image. In scales, which in most of the cases, not important, not required. In most of the cases. So scale set is just an easy way to configure that, and it comes in a bulk. So just you can manage it, your VMs as a kettle instead of individually. One another important distinction here is how we scale and how we deploy. Because of the uniformity of the VMs, we can actually predict some of the stuff, and we can enable rapid provisioning by knowledge about what has happened previously with the same type of VM. So your overall deployment and scale up, scale down experience will be much better with your scale sets. It's not just the concept of same VM multiple times. We are actually taking advantage of that and able to create mechanisms underneath that will optimize your next VM rollout. So your the time to roll out large amount of VMs or even single VM within scale set will definitely be better, will continue being better because we have inside information in advance. And just to give you a feeling of how does it look like in an Azure Resource Manager, you might want to create a scale set with set of VMs, add them scalable NICs, storage and extension, add those in the same way to each VM instead of managing each VM separately, just add those to this bulk of VMs. And if I'm looking into the template, it couldn't be simpler. Okay, sorry, one code sample, I mentioned no, one code sample. And if you are looking here, you can see that capacity, you just define instance count. So in the middle, on the right side, just define the instance count and that's it. That's the only thing you need to know in advance, and it will just take the same VM, deploy it multiple times, and iterate the number at the end of the name. That's it. Easy. So let's recap. Local failures. We are able to respond to achieve in-region high availability. We have Azure SLA. If you are running in this configuration, we will guarantee you a certain uptime. So Azure stands behind the uptime if you are telling us in advance what's your configuration and how your high availability looks like. And we will stand behind it. We will back you up. We will make sure that you are successful because our entire system is optimized to support this kind of scenario, those kind of scenarios. We'll continue. You can, of course, use backup and recovery in this case as well. We will still use automatic healing. This means that if some hardware underneath went wrong, we will still heal you up to another VM. And basically, that's it. Let's talk about scaling globally. How do we run multiple regions? So the goal here would be really to have a deployment across a region pair within the same geography, providing us protection against, in most cases, natural disasters. In some cases, maybe your or our bugs managing a single stamp, a single unit of deployment. We would like to make sure that in this kind of solution, we have DR across the region. In some cases, with immediate ability to restore. In some cases, it might take more. I'll talk about the mechanisms and what's available. It becomes more tricky when we are talking about multiple regions because eventually there could be some latency between the regions. Speed of light is still in play. We didn't solve that one yet. And we need to make sure that those regions can be close enough to your customers. So we have overall across the globe 34 regions, hyperscale footprint. You saw the slide in other sessions. I won't bore you with that one. What I do want to show you is that we have 8 in-country disaster inside the same country, inside the country's disaster recovery region. So this means that you can set up 2 regions relatively close to each other as a backup regions across the globe. So not just running your highly available solution in one region, but potentially running your active-passive or even active-active solution in 2 regions sufficiently close enough in those places across the globe. So how can you do that? Generally, you might want to set up 2 sets of configuration. You can see that we have availability set or scale set in region 1 for front end, same for middle tier, and another copy of the same thing in region 2. If you have active configuration, you might consider some sharding. So you won't need more VMs or more computing resources. You just distribute your VMs better. So you might not even need to pay more for this configuration. You just need to distribute payload and configure it in the right way. One thing to consider is how you copy the data between the regions. You might, because of the latency, you might want to create a configuration where data from region 1 is either immediately copied to region 2 before the transaction completes, or it copied afterwards. It depends on the configuration, depends on the RPO targets. But this is a point where you need to be extremely aware of the latency and type of the region. You can use a virtual networking configuration in order to make those regional networks connected. So to your application, it will look like that those guys are still on the same network, despite the fact they're in the region pair. And from our side, what we promise is that we will never update those two regions in a region pair, not any arbitrary regions, but regions within a region pair at the same time. The promise it gives you is that even in case of latent bugs, you will not see them in both regions. At least some of your configuration will survive that. And once again, this is a disaster case. This is a disaster scenario. But if we are really thinking about business critical payloads, we need to be prepared for all the cases. We need to create a layered solution. I shared a link here, which allows you to read a little bit more about the paired region concept. It shows, it talks about how to configure, what are the advantages, what are the regions, what to consider when you are using this functionality. Hopefully you find it useful. So let me just reiterate the benefits of the paired regions. There is a physical isolation at least 300 miles apart, so we are protected against disasters and aligned with compliance requirements, but still within geography. So sufficient latency, but not too much. Platform provides replication. This means that platform will copy your data if you're using storage or Azure SQL, or you can set up your own copy, depends on which tools you are using. For PaaS solutions we are providing, we will replicate your data either as a passive copy, this means that we'll create a read-only copy on the paired region, or the active copy. It depends on the performance requirements. Updates, never happening in the region pair at the same time, so you're protected against unexpected latent bugs. You can decide to pick up your region pair within a certain jurisdiction. For example, you might need to store your data inside China or inside Germany. Those are examples for the countries that have certain data jurisdiction requirements, and we will still support those region pairs. So wherever we go, our scale, our hyperscale, is working to your benefit also for availability. So use our hyperscale to make yourself available. That's probably the best advice I can give right now, and best ability to protect yourself against any kind of failure. I think those are the main points here. Let me quickly summarize. You might want to consider end-user proximity when sending the user to a specific region, but generally this is within the same geo, so in most of the cases it is less important. However, still, it's an important factor. Someone from Texas accessing Texas data center probably will get better response times than going across US. Disaster recovery is possible here. If you are not doing active configuration, one of the questions that pops up, if I'm not doing active configuration, or if I'm not exercising it, how do I know it will work? Well, you don't know if it will work. You don't know. It's a bet. It's a gamble. Unless you are running your application in both data centers at once, you don't know that you will be able to recover in case of failure. So the common practice here would be not just have a backup just in case, wake me up in the middle of the night, I'll deal with it. Really have two regions which are running. You always know that the other region is up and running. You always have the customers there. You are preparing for the rainy day and you are running in the rainy day configuration. If you need a crystal ball, I'll tell you right now, there will be a time when a region will fail because of natural disasters, those will continue happening, whatever it is, even if everyone else is perfect. And to protect yourself against that today, you can consider how you can run your active configuration or cross-region pair configuration where you are protected against it. So this will happen. The question is, are you ready for that today? And you can be ready for that in Azure. I think I mentioned the most points here. Database configuration, data copy configuration can be tricky. This is where you need to think about it. I would propose to consult the other sessions here about this configuration or read some literature. I didn't include the links here, but the previous links that I included about Azure paired regions has some links pointing to the right database configuration practices. So you should be able to configure it correctly and run it in a way that is performant and highly available. Okay, last point I wanted to mention, and this is the last point in this presentation, and I'll take questions afterwards. Last set of slides, not one slide, set of slides, not done yet. Is a question about scaling globally. You have some geography with two regions. You can add another geography with one region or with two regions. Essentially, take your stamps, copy them, make them close to the customer, potentially shard your data. This will further allow you to divide and conquer, to make sure that you are not updating too much of the customers at the same time, and protect you from unexpected failures. You definitely want to consider where data is. You definitely want to consider jurisdiction and local laws when you're running in this configuration. Actually, this is one of the main drivers to run in this configuration. Then it might be that you cannot take, for example, Chinese data, specific Chinese data, or you don't want to take outside of China, and you want to make sure that your highly available configuration is contained within China. However, you don't want to have your non-China data in that configuration. For example, German data still needs to stay in Germany. The solution to that is taking this stamp of region one, region two that we defined earlier and copying it across the geographies we have. And once again, we are optimizing for the global footprint. You have enough functionality to be able to do that. Okay, this is really the last point. And I'll summarize afterwards. So you can, of course, run one of the data, your data center and back it up to the cloud or have another region pair with the cloud, definitely possible. You can decide to extend your existing app to the cloud, to add capacity on demand in the cloud. It's all possible. One of the things to consider, and I'll just give you a pointer here, is ExpressRoute. ExpressRoute allows you to connect your enterprise network to the cloud. You can fence your enterprise network. In this example, there's no access point to your enterprise network except through your data center. So you can define the security configuration the way you like and just use the public cloud as a pool of resources, remote resources, highly available resources that you are adding to your data center. Any option will work here. What I'm trying to tell you is that it's flexible enough not only to support cross Azure data center configuration, but also to support configuration between your data center and Azure cloud. So a lot of caveats, once again, a lot of documentation on this, just a pointer to get started. One thing to remember, ExpressRoute will get you connectivity very, very fast. This is custom dedicated connectivity solution. Many customers that implemented this solution went that way. So summarizing where we are, we were able to start from a single instance solution, just one box. I'll repeat it once again. Not recommended, try to avoid it if you can. We went to a single region where we are resilient to the local failures. We extended the configuration, essentially duplicated our regional configuration in another region to be able to sustain regional failures, entire regional failures. And eventually, we were able to scale to the new markets by just duplicating our stamps across different geographies. So here's what I'd like to ask you as an outcome of this session. We are working very hard on Azure to make sure that we have 99% of availability all the time for every VM. We are explicitly hell-bent to reach there, and we are focused that every VM works as specified with the performance we promised, with the availability we promised, at least 99.99% of the time, preferably 100. We're working very, very hard to get there. We want to be hyper-available, better than hardware, and I already shared with you how our mechanisms allow us to be even more available, even more than the hardware. So my ask is make your app hyper-available. Use the mechanisms we have. Make sure that you are not cold in the middle of the night and you have good night's sleep. I think that's it. Feel free to access the online resources and the same slide you saw in the other sessions. I'll be happy to hear your feedback about my session, about other sessions. We're always interested to hear the feedback. Thanks a lot for attending. Questions through the mics. Thank you. Yep. Mike. Yep.
It works, right? Okay. I have a question about GRS. So, like, if you have a couple of VMs, you know, with availability set to get like 4 nines, but you know, as you mentioned, like one day, you know, like region will go down anyway. So we are using GRS, you know, to get like our data paired in paired data center. I understand that Microsoft, we cannot initiate the failover. It will be like from Microsoft side. So the question is, how long it will take if like data center goes down, let's say Central Canada, and we have data, GRS data in East Canada, how long it will take to get our machines back?
So if you are, once again, if you're running in the active configuration, you control the time. It could be zero. It could be virtually zero. It's based on potentially traffic manager or any other mechanism you use to decide on the amount of time.
No,
Microsoft GRS.
Both machines in the same data center, because I cannot configure availability set across the regions, right?
But you can configure two, and this is what I propose, two availability sets in two regions.
You're talking about four VMs?
Sorry?
You're talking about four VMs now?
Or two VMs, one and one.
Okay, like two VMs, but you know, like I cannot GRS in this case.
So then it will be more complicated to configure the database layer replication. And I agree with you. There are cases, and it might require scale. If your solution requires only two VMs, and you want to make sure that those two are available in one data center, you cannot tolerate latency between the region pair, then you might want to use the mechanisms we offer out of the box. Microsoft aims to shorten the times there to seconds. We are immediately detecting this. We have our monitoring systems that are switching that. So if you are relying on our mechanisms, it wouldn't be immediate, but it would be very short.
Very short minutes?
Very short means seconds, minutes.
Second means. Okay, thank you.
So in terms of getting the high availability, can you talk a little bit more about the load balancing? Is it at low layer 4, layer 7, that sort of, yeah?
Yeah, so I would like to propose to take a look at the load balancing sessions. In principle, high level, our load balancer allows you to load balance in layer 3, layer 4. The configuration of the load balancer for availability sets and scale sets is pretty flexible, but this is not a layer 7 application gateway. We do have an offering for application gateway, and you might want to take a look on the web what we offer there. You can, so load balancer comes by default with the availability set you define.
Okay.
The application gateway, you can set it up. We offer our own application gateway. There are also partners who offer their application gateways as a virtual appliances. So it depends on the needs.
And there are sessions for actually talking about that.
Yep. I can, afterwards, I can forward you, point you to the specific web page or session to get more insight.
And the application gateway load balancer, is that something new, or is it coming, or what's the...
It was already active for some time. There's a new version coming, but it's not new.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yep. Regarding the NVM metadata notification service, what kind of lead time are you expecting to give for when there's a planned maintenance event?
It depends on the event. Mm-hmm. If we are talking about planned maintenance events that are short pauses, we are talking about generally 5 minutes. Reboots, we are talking generally about 5 minutes. If we are talking about the full reboot, then we offer a set of mechanisms that will complement that. Generally, you should expect 30 minutes heads up and before you have actual reboot in case of annual planned maintenance that requires reboot. In D15, G5, D15S, G5S instances, you can get up to 2 hours. But once again, you need to reply to the message and ask for delay. You need to automate the lifecycle.
Yeah, the delay was specifically what I was looking for. We are currently impacted by those types of issues and always requested for root cause any time that happens. And the current implementation of the NVM notification, well, it wasn't a notification, just the metadata service.
Yeah.
It could only get about 5 minutes. So
we are increasing that explicitly for large VMs to 2 hours, for smaller VMs to 30 minutes.
Okay.
And you can respond, so you can actually delay it.
Thank you.
Two questions. So one on the metadata service, is there like more cleaner documentation or fuller of what else is in the metadata service?
When it's coming for public preview in October, we will have large set of public posts. Right now, I can. If you sign up for private preview, okay. We'll enable you to access the
documentation. Okay, so then we can just probe around and find out. Okay.
Yeah.
And second one is for the pauses. Like, if the VM cannot implement anything, the pauses will still work for any Linux virtual appliance, like with no code changes.
Right.
Right. So pause happens.
Right. It becomes cleaner if you implement anything. If you sure. need to do something, consider a Skype call. If there's a Skype call in progress, we might want to move it to a different VM.
Yeah, no,
that's an actual problem we have.
Because we build marketplace VMs, it's a cycle to put up anything up there. So okay, great. Thanks.
Yep. Cool. Thank you. Thanks for joining.
Sure.